Hare Krishna. Tomorrow we're celebrating Rath Yatra here in Budapest. Just outside the window is our Rath Yatra cart, or at least one of the Rath Yatra carts from London. And it's a quite cool, rainy day today. And last night we had our Rath Yatra Festival fundraising dinner. We always have that a couple of days before Rath Yatra. And yesterday it was here at the temple. We want to spend money that comes from the fundraising on renting other place. And of course, Lord Jagannath made his appearance along with Lord Balaram and Lady Subhadra and Shurishan Chakra. And now they're also on the altar, or on an altar beside the main altar in the temple room here in Budapest. Just a few days back, I was reading Skanda Purana and reading, I don't know, it must be a whole canto just about Lord Jagannath. Not just about Lord Jagannath, it's about Orissa, Odisha, also called Utkal, the glories of Purushottam Kshetra, which is Puri, or the greater Puri area. Then about the history of Lord Jagannath, which has a certain variation to the way it's told, maybe in Nardiya Purana, and also I think in Padma Purana, it was missing the story about Lalita, the wife of Vidyapati, Shabara, wife of Vidyapati, and the trail of mustard plants leading to Nilamarva. Very, very interesting information about the construction of the cart, and included in that information of the cart was also what different omens mean, if an axle breaks, what that means, if a spoke breaks, or some other parts, how that should be interpreted. Overall, it's a very wonderful narration, which of course starts out in Satya Yuga, and at least if we go by the implication of the time calculation that Indrajuna Maharaj spends in Brahmaloka, it's probably not even this Satyaloka, it's more like some other previous Satyaloka. So this is taking place millions and millions of years ago. And Indrajuna Maharaj, who I have no reason to believe that he's the same Indrajuna Maharaj who in his subsequent life became Gajendra the elephant. He was cursed to be an elephant. Just sharing the same name. And Indrajuna Maharaj was the king of Avanti, which is where Krishna went to Gurukula with Balaram in South India. He seemed as a very extraordinary soul, very, very great devotee. Of course, Satya Yuga, everyone's a great devotee, but even amongst the great devotees, he was very special. And because in Satya Yuga, everyone meditates, he was feeling the absence of being able to see the Lord directly with his senses. The superiority of seeing the Lord with your senses, even with one's material senses, over and above seeing Him in meditation, is described in real detail in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Devotees can refer to that discussion with Gop Kumar, Sanatana Goswami explains. And eventually news came to the king that there was this mysterious deity named Nilamadava residing on the top of a hill, Nilachala Hill, Niladri, somewhere north. So he sent out different messengers, Brahmins it seems, for such a quest. Brahmins were the most suitable person, and Vidyapati was one of the Brahmins who ultimately came to what is now Jagannath Puri and came to the foot of this Niladri Hill. Of course, now you get some sense that there's a hill there if you're going from Swargadwar, from the ocean, you go towards the temple, you get sort of an idea that you're going up the hill, but it's a very slight incline. But if you remember that this is millions of years ago, then there's every reason to believe that it was a much more significant mountain, since everything shrinks in Kali Yuga. And even if we just look at the example that Giriraj was a mile high 5,000 years ago, and right now he's like, it's not even 100 feet high anywhere. So, and at the foot of this hill there were shabaras, or pig keepers. Now that's very interesting that there were those type of people in Satya Yuga, but it seems that was the reality. And so he stayed there in that village and made friends with the head of the village, with the chief whose name was Vishvashu. And Vidyapati fell in love with Vishvashu's daughter, whose name was Lalita. And of course, living at his father-in-law's house, he noticed how Vishvashu would regularly take all kinds of ingredients for worship and go up the mountain, and he would just come back in the evening. Because when he was asking about Nilamadava, everyone just denied that there was any deity around here. There was the mountain itself was just covered with real thick jungle, so it was very difficult to go there. It was obvious that he wasn't going to be able to find anything just by wandering around. And no one was telling him anything. In fact, no one even consented to knowing anything about any deity in Nilamadava. But he was suspicious. One reason is he was suspicious is because the Shabaras, they were always getting together and with articles for worship and going up to the mountain. And the other is that the whole village was full of all kinds of divine articles, unearthly articles. The reason for that being is that the demigods came to worship Nilamadava as well, and when they did their worship with whatever paraphernalia they bought, they just discarded it, they just left it there. So the Shabras were collecting all of these other things, and they had all these Chintamani plates and so many things that they'd collected. They were, both the Shabras and the demigods were worshipping Nilamadava. That they were pig keepers seems to be their sort of caste. Whether that's exactly what they were doing, I don't know. It doesn't seem to indicate that they were, doesn't make any mention of them keeping pigs. So it may be that when they're just called Shabras, that was actually their caste, but they were leaving sort of pure life that one would expect. In any case, finally, Vidyapati prevailed on his wife to take him up to see Nilamadava. And she did, but only on the condition that he was blindfolded. And still he took some mustard seeds along with him, and as he was going up, he was dropping the mustard seeds, which obviously when they were rained on, got in the ground, and they sprouted, and they turned into plants, and they would in that way, in time, make a path to make a path up to Nilamadava. When Lalita brought Vidyapati up to Nilamadava, and the interaction seems very interesting. It seems like Nilamadava and his worshippers were in constant direct conversation with each other. They would talk, and Nilamadava, the deity, was very very conversant, not conversant, they were conversing with the deity. You can keep that. And so when Vidyapati went there, then Nilamadava was very happy to see him. And he told him that, and Lalita, that this was his arrangement, and that the time for him to be worshipped was now over. We are in the middle of Brahma's life, and for the first half of Brahma's life, then Nilamadava was one of the prime, if not one of the main deities on this planet, or perhaps within the universe. And for the second half of Brahma's life, it's Lord Jagannath. He will be worshipped until the end of this Brahma's lifetime and the annihilation of the universe, and he'll continue to be worshipped there in Purushottam Kshetra, in Jagannath Puri. So Nilamadava explained these things and then disappeared. It is described that he entered into the earth. So anyway, he disappeared. Obviously, when Vishvasu came and he saw that the deity was gone, he was extremely upset. And although still Nilamadava, he heard the voice, explained everything that happened, still he was so angry that he tied up Vidyapati and wouldn't let him go. Well, to make a long story short, finally Lalita prevailed to let Vidyapati go, because Vishwasu knew that if Vidyapati leaves, then he'll bring Indrajumna Maharaj here, and the sanctity of Nilamadava's hill, Niladri Hill, will come to end, as also their exclusivity to being able to worship that next deity that Nilamadava spoke about, which was Lord Jagannath. Still, it was the Lord's will, so he let him go, and of course Indrajumna Maharaj did come to that Purushottam Kshetra, and he moved his whole kingdom there, and under the advice of Narada Muni, he began to perform horse sacrifices. Where the Gundicha temple is now, there Indrajumna Maharaj performed 1,000 horse sacrifices. And at the end of that 1,000 horse sacrifices, then again he actually got darshan of Lord Vishnu in his meditation, which he then relayed to Narada Muni. And the instructions that he received were to build a palatial temple. And when Lord Jagannath appeared then to install Lord Jagannath in that temple. So he did. He went about constructing a temple. That temple is said to be 435 meters high, which is a pretty big temple. That's 50% higher than the temple of Vedic Planetarium. That's not the current temple. The present temple is, at least archaeologists know of at least seven other buildings underneath the present temple. And temple was constructed, still no Lord Jagannath. Where he was supposed to come from, how he was going to be installed. So under Narada Muni's instruction, then Indrajumna Maharaj went to Brahmaloka. You can see how powerful a person he was. He was able to go directly to Brahmaloka. When he arrived there, Lord Brahma was watching a performance, some type of divine performance. And Indrajumna Maharaj waited. And when it was over, then he asked Lord Brahma what should be done about installing Lord Jagannath, where is he meant to come from, and whether Lord Brahma personally would participate. So Lord Brahma agreed that he would come for the installation, and he said that Indrajumna Maharaj should just wait. The Lord will directly manifest, and he will manifest to become a Daru Brahman, or he will be Brahman. He will be spiritual substance in the form of wood. He will look like wood, although he's fully transcendental. He told Indrajumna Maharaj that in the time that you've been up here, many, many yugas have come and gone, many generations, all the people that you know, they're all dead and gone. So when you go back, then you should expect that you're going to have to actually establish your credentials. And as Lord Brahma had said, that Indrajumna went back, and in the meantime, Jagannath Temple had been completely lost to view, and was later, much, much later, excavated by some king. And that king laid claim to building the temple. So when Indrajumna Maharaj came with the idea of installing deity, Lord Jagannath, waiting for Lord Jagannath to appear, then the king said, no, I built this temple, and I'm the one who has the rights, and I'll decide what will happen here. So fortunately, there was one crow whose name, something like Bharundi, Kaka means crow. And he is a Chiranjeev, and he's still alive. He still lives there by the bank of a lake, one of the sacred lakes in Puri, which is called Rohini Kund. Chiranjeev means that he's been around since the beginning of creation, and he'll continue to live till the end of creation, like Jambavan. And so he came out and he testified, no, Indrajumna Maharaj, I was here when Indrajumna Maharaj built the temple, and so at least that disagreement was settled. And then Indrajumna Maharaj performed another sacrifice in the meantime to somehow another propitiate the Lord so that he will appear. And sure enough, one morning when the Brahmins went to bathe in the ocean on the southern end of Puri, then this huge, huge, big tree whose top was submerged but whose roots were on the shore. And the divine tree, it was glowing, and it had marks of the conch shell and disc and club, and it was obviously very divine and transcendental in nature, but well, no one could move it. Lord Brahma informed the king that well, there was two versions that I read. One is that it was a hair of Lord Vishnu in the form of a tree, and the other one is that it's a kalpavriksha from the spiritual world. That they should take this tree and worship it, and from it they should carve the form of Lord Jagannath. Of course, it was still a mystery what the form of Lord Jagannath is meant to look like, and no one could move the tree. So again, voice from the sky informed them that the descendants of Vishvasu, that they will be able to move. So the recent descendant of Vishvasu came, and just alone himself, he was able to pick up the tree, and they placed him on a golden altar and worshipped. It was very, very interesting how the method of worship of Lord Jagannath is that Vidyapati had two wives. One was the Lalita, the Shabara, and the other was a Brahmani. So the descendants of the Brahmani, they became the pujaris. The descendants of Lalita became the cooks. And the other descendants of the Shabras, Vishvasu, they were the daityas, who do all kinds of other services, carrying Jagannath, making the carts, and so on. So it was a very inclusive thing. From the highest class to the lowest class, everyone was engaged in Lord Jagannath's service. And of course, no one could carve the deity either. Their chisels just broke. So finally one carpenter appeared, who is Vishvakarma, the architect of the demigods, and he said, I will carve the deities in 21 days. I need a secluded place. No one should bother me. After 14 days, Indradum Maharaj couldn't restrain himself any longer, and he came to see how the carving was going on. And the carver had disappeared, and there was Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. He thought that they were incomplete, they had no hands, no feet, but then a voice from the sky told him, no, this is the eternal form of Lord Jagannath. I'd mentioned some weeks back that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita I was reading how Gop Kumar was going from being instructed by Narada Muni and Uddhava in Dwarka, and they told him that his real place was Vrindavan, but to qualify to go to Vrindavan, they said you should go to Purushottam Kshetra, where there's always talk of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. But the Purushottam Kshetra they were talking about was a spiritual planet where Krishna eternally resides in the form of the deity Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra. So there's a, of course that may sound sort of unique to us, that in the spiritual planet Krishna is there as a deity. But if we recognize that there's actually no difference between Krishna and his deity form, then it's not such a surprising thing. Anyhow, the installation took place, Lord Jagannath was installed, and that's the first part of the pastime, or at least that's one part. Then there are so many other pastimes involving Lord Jagannath, and of course one of them was Rath Yatra. In these books it's not mentioned what the actual meaning of Rath Yatra is, other than that it's a festival that Lord Jagannath wanted to take place, or what the meaning of Lord Jagannath having this actual form It was only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time that we have record when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that the form of Lord Jagannath is an ecstatic feature of Krishna in separation from Vrindavan, and that the Rath Yatra festival is the Brijbasis bringing Krishna back. Of course, that's also not surprising. It's just like the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, although it's there in the Upanishads, but still until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, no one really knew the very esoteric meaning of the mantra, the mood it's meant to be chanted in. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed the real meaning of the worship of Lord Jagannath, and of course Srila Prabhupada then spread the cult of Jagannath worship all over the world. More is to be said, but I have to go to a meeting, and tomorrow we're expecting to have a wonderful Rath Yatra festival. Hare Krishna to everyone. Jai Jagannath Swami Ki Jai.